Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Last night's Super Bowl was expected to be a close game between the NFL's best offense and the Seattle Seahawks and the league's best defense, the Denver Broncos. Instead, there wasn't much drama and excitement as the Seahawks flattened the Broncos 43-8. The Super Bowl ads were, again, hyped almost as much as the game itself. Were they equally disappointing? Well, joining us now to talk about them and perhaps to answer the question, is there anything more American than America, is Brandon Nutting. He's assistant professor of contemporary media and journalism at the University of South Dakota. And Brandon, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, did it seem like this year's ads were a little bit more reserved than past years? It didn't seem like we had a lot of the flash and excitement or any of some of the more risque aspects to some of the ads we've seen before.
That's kind of the feeling I got. Everybody that I talked to also said they felt this year didn't have anything that stood out compared to previous years. Yeah, there was a lot of talk that it just wasn't as exciting, kind of to go with the game, I guess.
Why do you think that was? Is it just a backlash maybe to what's been happening in the ads the previous years?
To me, it felt like there was too much talking about it too early. I feel like everybody could have seen the ads all week long if they wanted to. There were only a few that went with the teaser model where they weren't actually showing the ads, which I felt kind of added to the drama of seeing what the actual ad was going to be when it ran. But for the most part, you could see them all online a couple days, a week in advance.
And what is the reason for that change that now you can see the ads before? And some of these ads have been, you know, I've seen these ads, some of these before as well, just on television.
Well, their advertisers are still not trying. They still haven't quite figured out what they're going to do with the online components. For a while, there was a problem where an ad aired in regular time, in real time, and then they would actually fight people when they tried to put it online, which made no sense. I mean, you're spending all this money to run it in real time. Why not get the online credit for it? Why not let it get shared and reshared? And so now they've figured out, well, that's the better model. And so now they're trying to show them early on and get people to see them online and kind of bring up their online elements of their websites. So people are really interested in seeing the ad online, and then the advertisers themselves are pretty interested in actually showing the amount of hits, talking about it going viral, and trying to get the online element to mix with the traditional advertising elements.
Now, the whole aspect of getting these things, these ads to go viral, is that one of the motivations behind some of these ads, is that to get people to then after the game to just keep watching them over and over and over again?
Yeah, that's what you want to see. Everybody talks about them the next day, so you want them to be reshared and re-talked about all the time. And then now the online interactive component was the story this year. Last year when the Super Bowl had the power outage, Oreo live tweeted an ad. They actually took the time to put out an ad. They produced an ad that said something like, we can still dunk in the dark, and it had a picture of the Oreo with the lights out and dunking in the milk. And so that was an interactive, real-time advertisement that was based on something going on online. So people were more interested in that kind of thing because it had something to do with what was going on. At the time, the Super Bowl had the blackout. So everyone was all excited. Oh, that's the neatest thing ever. So this year, everyone expected to be this big backlash of all these people on Twitter trying to have an interactive component to their ads. So having people driven online to see the commercial begin with and then combined with their interactive component was sort of the hope for a slam dunk this year.
Does this kind of reflect the changes and the struggles that advertisers are going through today, with the aspect of online viewing, the decline in cable and just regular television broadcast, to try to get those eyeballs?
Absolutely. And you're seeing product placement because people fast forward through commercials now. You have DVR. And they're trying to find a way, another niche that's as profitable as traditional advertising used to be prior to having the component of being able to skip through with a DVR. So now we're trying to find a way to get on TV if you can, which the Super Bowl, because it's the World Series of advertising, everybody wanting to see the ads. Of course, people see those all the time and they retweet those or they send them off to their friends and everything. But then during the rest of the year is the problem. So now we're trying to find some sort of interactive component to go with it. So everybody's using Twitter, Facebook, social media now. And so trying to get those eyes and that attention to advertising is the second component to all of this now.
Are these Super Bowl ads that much different than the ads we see during the rest of the year?
I think so. The biggest difference is when you're showing an ad during the rest of the year, you're going to show it a few times, and you also want to display the product right away. You want people to know what the product is about. When the Super Bowl ads come on, half the time you don't even know what the ad's about till the very end, if at all. And the reason why they can get away with that is because it's being reshared so much. The story is exciting, and people talk about, did you see that story yesterday? It's all about sharing that story. And so the little blurb of what you're actually selling at the end is okay in that regard. But during the rest of the year, you're barely paying attention. That's when you get up to go, you know, use the restroom or something. And so they are trying to get your eyes or your attention multiple times throughout the rest of the year.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with Brandon Nutting of the University of South Dakota. He's assistant professor of contemporary media and journalism, talking about last evening's Super Bowl ads. We're looking at the ads as a whole. Did you think there was a common theme or certain things they had in common?
Not really. Like I said, a lot of the common theme was to try to drive you online again. It used to be just posting your website. Now it's posting your Twitter account, Instagram, Vine, whatever, and they're trying to get you to interact with the brand. So typical branding methods are to get you to love a brand. You know, that's the whole point. If you love a brand, you'll buy it, no matter what it is. And so now we can actually start a conversation. In the past, with traditional media, it's a one-way conversation. I can't talk to the brand. Now, with Twitter, Instagram, and all these other social media outlets, I can talk to the brand. And so the brand can develop a relationship. And I think that's really the only common theme that I saw, was just trying to get people to have a conversation with the brand.
Well, let's talk about some of the ads. Some that you found particularly effective?
Personally, I like the Dober Wawa commercial. I thought that was hilarious. But then
that was the cross between the Doberman and the Chihuahua.
And it had a good message at the beginning that I think a lot of people overlooked, was the couple that was looking at buying a dog. At the beginning, they're in a store and they're going to buy a dog. But by the end, they actually adopt the dog from the shelter. But then the question becomes, do you remember what the ad was about?
For a car.
It was for a car. Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the problem. You spend all this money. The placement alone was $4 million. So if it was a 30-second commercial, it ran $4 million this year. So for $4 million, you got people talking about a Dober Wawa and not being able to tell you which car it was for.
I didn't see it in my notes here what car.
I believe it was Audi.
Audi. Yep. Audi, there
no
it is.
Compromise is what it was.
Other ads?
The one that was really talked about was Radio Shack. And I got the question of, how effective is it to make fun of yourself? And that's a good question. Radio Shack knows it has an image problem. And everybody else knows it has an image problem. So they figured out a good way to talk about that. They brought in all the icons from the 80s, talking about how their store is left over from the 80s. And they did it in a way that made it to where we could all laugh together rather than make fun of Radio Shack.
There you had Mary Lou Retton and Dee Schneider from Twisted Sister, all these.
I like the California Raisins.
California Raisins were there as well. What about some of the ads that maybe kind of you think missed the mark?
There were some people who weren't too happy with Bob Dylan. I think it was kind of mixed. It depended who you asked. People who were in my circles and who were on the advertising industry side were kind of, awed by the fact that Bob Dylan agreed to do an ad like that. And then people who were on the consumer side loved it. So it just depended on who you asked. And to me, it felt like it missed the mark for a couple of reasons, but it was one of the more talked about. So in that regard, it didn't. Sometimes having the buzz and talking about it, everyone says, oh, any kind of discussion, any kind of talking about your brand is good. And for the most part, that can be true.
Yeah, so it's to start off with that question, is there anything more American than America? And I don't know if the writers of that realized that it was kind of a stupid question, but thought it would really kind of catch people's ear and get them talking.
And it does. And I think they're trying to capitalize off last year. The farmer ad was the Dodge truck farmer ad. I think it was Dodge truck. See, we're a year out and I can't remember. So that's not good for my $3.8 million. But I think they're trying to go off that attention. And a couple years ago, the Chrysler ad from which was along the same lines was the Detroit revival ad with M&M, and they're trying to do something like that again, get people fired up about American cars again. And that's the big problem that they felt they needed to address, was that people are not as fired up about American cars as they used to be. So this is a way to kind of bring out the nostalgia of buying an American car.
Some of these ads seemed, you think of the Super Bowl, okay, men are watching. It looked like a couple of these were aimed more at women, like the Greek yogurt ad with John Stamos. That seemed to be directly aimed for women.
And there was a lot of women who talked about how offended they were by that.
Oh, really?
So even if it was aimed at women, it may have missed the mark as well. The Super Bowl is watched by so many people. The targeting of men versus women, yes, more men watch it, but more men are more interested in the game. I mean, for example, my fiance was sitting there with me and watching it, and she was only interested in the ad. She went away to go do stuff while the mm-hmm. game was on. You know, she was only interested in the advertisements. So it doesn't fall on one particular demographic anymore as much, especially when it comes to things going viral. The whole point of the viral thing is the emotionality is what gets people interested in resharing it or talking about it. So the more American than America, that was emotional. It was an emotional question, you know, and bringing back Detroit and Detroit's down and we got to buy American cars. It's an emotional appeal, just like the military coming home one from Budweiser, mm-hmm. The other Budweiser one with the puppy and the horse. They're emotional, and so they get people interested, and more likely more women are going to respond to that than men, and so you kind of have both demographics being targeted at the same time.
You talk about ads that get at your emotions. One Coca-Cola ad that I think at least seems to have gotten some controversy. This was the ad with America the Beautiful sung in a number of different languages.
It was controversial. There was a lot of people talking about it on Twitter. There was a lot of people talking about it in a very negative way. And there was actually a psychology professor that I used to work with even asked the question, if Coke knows this is going to be controversial and it's going to alienate some of their customers, why do they produce an ad like that? And I think that the answer kind of comes to brand loyalty, that people are loyal to Coke no matter what they're going to do. Now, that could change if you do something like BP dumping oil into the mm-hmm. into the Gulf. But for the most part, people stay brand loyal to what they've been using their whole lives. And so this was kind of a unity message. And so it might bring people in who may not necessarily care what soft drink they care about. If they care about a unity message, they might be more interested in purchasing Coke. But you're not going to shake off your loyal Coke customers. They're not going to suddenly decide they're going to drink Pepsi tomorrow just because they were offended by the ad.
Well, that brings up the question of what's the goal of these ads? How does brand loyalty? Are you trying to switch brand people's loyalty? Are you trying to just reinforce that? Oh, I love Coke, and here's a commercial that helps me love Coke even more.
It kind of depends on the brand. Some of the brands are just trying to demonstrate that they exist. They're just trying to be on the map. Other ones are just trying to reinforce. Some of them are just trying to bring top of mind awareness. Budweiser, by far and away, sells the most beer. Bud Light is the number one drink. Light beer. And so they don't have to do anything other than remind people that they exist. And so you see them kind of toying with their advertising. They just run stuff because they can. So, for example, yesterday's was they picked a person that came into a bar and they gave him a Bud Light and they said, do you want to take this challenge? Do you want to go off and do these things? And he went off and did these things. And it was a story. And it wound up with him playing table tennis, which Arnold Schwarzenegger called mini tennis, which I thought was interesting. But and so they just have this story. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but they don't have to. They're just going to remind you that they exist. And that's their message.
Now, in the past, there have been ads that introduce new products. And I don't know if this is a new product or just one I've never heard of before, and that was WeatherTech. And I guess I found that kind of confusing because saw the ad. I have no idea what WeatherTech is.
WeatherTech makes floor mats, if you want to know,
okay.
Actually, if you're interested. I think their message was that they do exist because people didn't know. And they're an up-and-coming business. I think they've been around a while. I'm not familiar with all the specifics. But they're an up-and-coming brand, and they just wanted to get their message out. So now, you know, today you're asking about WeatherTech because you didn't know.
Yeah.
What is it? You know, and the only time you actually really knew what it was at the end they showed a shot of the SUV with the floor mats. And it was a split-second shot. For the most part, it was all about they're going to get money or they're going to produce in a factory. And it was a very American message again about you can't do this. You can't do this. No one does this. So they're trying to demonstrate that they're an American brand. There's a lot of companies that make rubber full-weather floor mats, all-weather floor mats. And so they're trying to distinguish themselves as the all-American, all-put-together, all-manufactured in the United States, at the same time getting your attention to the fact that they even exist.
Well, there's another product that advertised that's not that well known, SodaStream. This featured Scarlett Johansson, and there's a whole different sort of controversy with this one here. This was maybe the one ad that actually had some cheesecake, although they did it kind of sort of tongue-in-cheek there.
SodaStream it's a very odd case study. They're not allowed to even really promote anything outside the United States. Some of the other countries have advertising laws that say you can talk great about your brand all you want. I can talk about how great I am. I'm great. But you can't talk down about another brand. So they've been having trouble with that because their whole message is they're the antithesis of buying soda. So they're trying to go against Coke and Pepsi and say you can make your own drinks at home. So abroad, they've had kind of a lot of trouble advertising at all. And so now in the U.S., they had some controversies because at the end, she turns to the camera on the full cut of the commercial and says, sorry, Coke and Pepsi. And Fox immediately said, no, that's not going to fly. And people asked me, well, is that illegal? It's not illegal, but when your title sponsors are Coke and Pepsi, they don't necessarily want your $4 million versus their multi-million dollars. And that's really what came into play there.
And then there's the whole other controversy that SodaStream is an Israeli company with a factory in occupied Palestinian territory. And so Scarlett Johansson is in a little trouble there. That brings up the whole issue of, for these spokespeople, do they have to be careful or do they have to do research before they sign on to?
You should be. You got to be really careful because people have a negative image and then they're going to be associated with your brand. The message that was circulating about her, in addition to what you just brought up as far as the company, is that she turned down working for a nonprofit at a lower paycheck for this ad.
So the Oxfam?
To be paid more money, ideally, for SodaStream. And so that's what's moving around now and circulating is how she's a terrible person. She's supposed to be helping out this nonprofit and turns it down for this extra money. You've got to be careful when you pick anyone to represent your brand. And I think that a lot of times people do pay attention. And sometimes the controversy can't be good because remember we talked about buzz is good. People talking is good. This might not be exactly what they had in mind all the way around. And I think that it's kind of the negative publicity is too much at this point for that entire brand.
Yeah, bad buzz for both SodaStream and Scarlett Johansson.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, the big question then, these ads, $4 million for a 30-second spot, are advertisers getting a good deal here? With 120 million viewers, they're paying for eyeballs.
And I think the statistics that I saw was it was still – you're looking at the price per viewer is still really good. It's still really worth the money. And now I think the internet came in just in time. The Super Bowl ads were going up and up and up, and now all of a sudden you have this second opportunity to display all of the ads. So when they launched them on the Super Bowl, now everyone can go online and watch them on the internet. It didn't used to be that way. So as they were coming up, you were worried, like, this model can't sustain. People aren't going to spend $3 million for 30 seconds. But now it's not about the 30 seconds. It's about the 30-second launch, which sends you online. And another interesting dynamic to this was that when I actually watched the Super Bowl via their Fox's web stream. So I watched it on my iPad, which I then broadcast to my TV in my living room. And the advertising that was run during the stream was actually totally different than the advertising that was run in real time. Now, they ran some of the same ads, but it sounds like, and I haven't been able to look at the numbers yet, that they sold the advertising online as a separate buy from the traditional buy during the regular air. So now that's another dynamic. If people were trying to watch in portable devices and go watch TV anywhere, now you can sell ads twice. The people who are watching it at home, just like a traditional viewer, versus the people who are watching them in a mobile environment on an iPad or something like that.
Well, given this, do you think the Super Bowl ads will continue to be part of the spectacle?
Absolutely. I can't see it changing anytime soon. And if anything, the interactive strengthening is just going to get more strong. Esurance, I believe it was Esurance at the end, had a competition where they ran their ad right at the end. So the amount that it cost them to run the Super Bowl ad, I think, was something like $1.5 million less than if they had run it just 10 seconds earlier during the actual Super Bowl. And then they were having a campaign online where you could run a hashtag, a promoted tag for Esurance. And if you ran the hashtag, you were entered to win that $1.5 million. And that's all I see on Twitter right now is everybody tweeting this Esurance hashtag. So that's something that's totally different we've not seen before, and it's a second component to the brand. And Esurance obviously is an online company. They pride themselves on the fact that you can go online and buy your insurance through them instead of dealing with a traditional Progressive agent. And so combining that with the online interactive component that they're doing together, that's a stronger message that we've not seen before.